by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Maximize the Value of Your Data While Minimizing Cost conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Diane McCollum. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everybody, to Maximizing the Value of Your Data While Minimizing Cost. My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the Worldwide Sales Leader for IBM's DB2 for Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. Our speaker today is Karen Duard, Webster's Information Integration Product Manager. Now I'd like to turn it over to Karen. Karen?
Thanks, Diane. With that much of an introduction, I'll jump right into the meat of the material today and ask you to look at slide 2. Information on demand, increasing the business value of information. We all have a lot of data, but data in and of itself is meaningless if we cannot turn it into usable information, if we cannot take action on the data that we have. With that in mind, we know that to take our data and turn it into a meaningful business action, we must integrate that evolving data and content from many, many different sources. We must transform it into a useful context. The data that we collect in our business systems has little meaning if we cannot, in fact, relate it across our systems, across our user communities. And then lastly, we must deliver this information in a way that, in fact, empowers the people and the processes to take the proper action. All of this recognizing that the more we can bring our data up this spectrum, transforming it from pure data to information, gaining insight from that information, and then turning that insight into action, allows our businesses to innovate and to respond to changing environments. But we must recognize it does begin with the data. Moving on. It begins with data integration. We cannot transform data into information. We cannot gain insight. We cannot take action if, in fact, we cannot get at the data. And moving on. Data challenges that you face every day or data integration challenges that you face every day are diverse. We know, for example, that new applications on diverse platforms are driving integration demand. How do you reuse that critical Z operational data when it comes to all of the newer platforms or the distributed platforms that operations must use? Mergers and acquisitions. You think you have control of your data environment, and then another company is acquired. Now I have a whole new set of data that must be integrated into my infrastructure. I must figure out how to transform the information in the acquired organization in such a way that I can rationalize it with the information that I already have. So the managing and the transformation of this new and acquired information can become very complex. Compounding all of this for the Z customer is the shortage of mainframe skills. Workload backlogs are causing tremendous problems in many Z organizations. How do you reduce dependence on the limited set of mainframe skills without losing the value of that operational data resource? And that resource is very valuable. Finally, we know from not just Gartner, but from many sources, that the volume of information that you're being called upon to integrate is exponentially growing. How do you deal with this growing volume? The problem is only exploding when it comes to the types of information that you're dealing with and the volume of information that you're dealing with. Moving on to slide 5. And System Z data is especially challenging. We know over 60% of operational data is sourced from System Z. What we mean by that is it doesn't represent 60% of the volume of data. What it does represent is 60% of the inherent source of that data. Lots of Z data is copied, is transformed and repackaged and redelivered to other platforms. It's reused all over the organization. But we know that that initial 60%, that source, is sitting there on System Z. The question becomes, how do you maximize and the ability to deliver that data to all of these other platforms, all of these other uses, and do it for the least cost, knowing that you have some inherent challenges, such as the proprietary nature of the databases on this platform. There are multiple databases. APIs are not simple. There is a dearth of skills, and they are scarce and becoming more costly. We have billions of lines of mainframe code that are controlling and running our businesses, so migration is not an option. And we need to integrate this information with all of these modern initiatives, but the modern initiatives inherently do not know how to talk with these proprietary databases. So what are you doing to actually meet these challenges today? Well, we see sort of a two-prong attack here in many organizations. The first, because it is the path of least resistance, is hand coding. I'll just code another COBOL or PL1 program every time I need information. So whenever I need information in a new application, I write another program. The challenge there is that another program becomes a bottleneck. It creates more dependence on unique skills. It creates more programs that I need to manage. And we don't need more programs. We need fewer programs. We need to accelerate and reduce the dependence on coding, not increase the dependence on coding. So then we look at integration technologies and say, okay, well, if I don't have to write programs, there must be another way to integrate this information. And there is. In fact, there are multiple ways to integrate this information, and that's really what we're going to spend the bulk of our time on today, is going through the various ways that you can integrate this information. But all too often, we attack that method of integration with a one-size-fits-all mentality. So I have seen organizations that look at every data integration challenge as a process integration requirement. We'll figure out how to integrate the transactions that we have and use those transactions to get at the underlying data. Or I see organizations that look at every new business initiative as a reason to create another copy of this source data residing, or this operational data residing, on their System Z. And for some requirements, that's a great solution, but for others, what ends up happening is you create data latency errors, because now my copied data isn't up to date and I have applications using old data. I create synchronization challenges. Every time I create a copy, I have to maintain that copy. So how do I keep it up to date? And the result can be significant quality issues. So we're not saying that integrating the transactions or copying the data is bad. What we're saying is that it's not a one-size-fits-all world. And we need to look at these and other solutions in relationship to each other and in relationship to the challenges that you face. So let's move on to slide 6, and let me set up a couple of definitions before we get into the integration approaches and how they can be used. I'm going to talk about process-centric integration and data-centric integration. EAI, Enterprise Application Integration, process-centric integration designed primarily to automate workflows and to identify and leverage process dependencies. Now, behind the scenes, processes use data. So secondarily, we know that they provide access to information, and in some situations, we will use them for their information access capabilities. But inherently, they're focused on the process. The data-centric implementations or integration solutions revolve around federation, extract, transform, load, and data event publishing. In federation, we're saying we need a real-time pull model of information integration. ETL is allowing us to copy data, to place data where it needs to be, to transform it along the way. And then data event publishing allows us to recognize changes in data and push that data out to the processes and the users that may need it. So these are the basic definitions that we're starting with. Let's take a look now at the overall integration landscape and how these may fit. Moving on to slide 7. So the first question that you ask when you're looking at an integration approach for a particular requirement is, what's driving this integration? Is it the process or the information? And let me give you an example. In an insurance environment, I had a client who wanted to webify, as it were, their claims processing environment. Well, that's a process challenge. The inherent rules in the claims application was essential to effectively webifying that information. They had another initiative that was enabling a self-service environment for their customers and their agents and so forth. Well, that was inherently an information requirement, not a process requirement. They weren't looking to go in and write a new policy. They weren't looking to submit a claim. They were looking to be able to investigate when their next payment was due and those types of things. So that was an information requirement. And that's really the starting point. Is it primarily a process or primarily an information requirement? And then we look at each of these technologies to determine which is the best approach for a particular challenge that you face or a particular requirement that you face. Recognizing that there is overlap between these different styles of integration, and that overlap is growing. There's a great deal of convergence in this marketplace where we are seeing capabilities evolving in all different styles of integration. So over time, what we've actually begun to see is less pure focus on one style of integration and more focus on the ways you can use these styles of integration to complement each other. So let's, for example, empower an EAI workflow process with access to information by a federation. Let's use published data events, a change in a piece of data, to initiate a process in an EAI environment. Or let's use that same change in a piece of data to drive an update through an ETL solution to a data warehouse so that I can make my data warehousing more responsive and more accurate and more current and more up-to-date. So moving on to slide 8, let's focus a little bit on the information-centric models and how they can apply in an organization. So the first is our federation model. This is our access model. Inherently, access is a real-time process. So what we want to do here is seamlessly integrate your System Z data with the new initiatives that you are implementing every day. So whether it's an e-commerce site, a self-service site, we want to make your System Z data an equal participant within your information architecture. Synchronizing, near real time. This is where I want to push changes out, and I may want to drive integration with this change data. I may want to update a copy of data with changes. So I'm going to capture changes and push them out. It's inherently near real time because it's capturing the changes as they're being made. But because there's this delivery mechanism in the middle here, it's not exactly real time. It's very close. Now, let's move the data. This is our typically scheduled processes. This is our consolidation. This is our ETL environment, where we're going to repackage and repurpose data. Inherently, when information needs to go through complex transformation, aggregation, summarization, this is where it's very appropriate to make a copy. You don't want to be accessing information in real time and repackaging it over and over and over. If you need to repackage and repurpose, you want to do it once. Then you may want to synchronize in near real time to keep that copy up to date. So we're going to look at ETL in the data warehousing, operational data store, master data management projects, customer data integration projects, CDI. So those are the type of initiatives that are suitable for copied data. So let's move on and look at some real implementations and how you reuse critical system Z data, how you can handle this transformation complexity, and how you can handle the growing volumes. And we'll take a look at these integration styles in implementations and see where they fit best and how they can interoperate to deliver on your data integration requirements for the lowest cost. So if we summarize, moving on, the many faces of data integration. When we look at the information side, we're looking at federation, consolidation, and publication. And you can see pictorially how these tend to apply. So on a federation side, it's pulling information directly to the applications, to the tools that need the information. And what we're doing with federation is making the Z data an equal player in that world. On the consolidation side, ETL, think ETL, we're taking information from any number of sources. We're going to transform it so that we can repurpose that information and solve new business challenges with that information. Publication, we're going to push information out to drive new initiatives, to drive updating of other data stores or triggering processes. Moving on, let's look at some examples now. Choosing the right integration model. A multidimensional self-service environment. This is my insurance carrier. They want to reduce costs. They want to improve the performance and the satisfaction with their customers, their agents, and their providers, you know, the doctors that are providing services. So they're looking at self-service environments. And they recognize that not only does one size not fit all when it comes to data integration, but one size does not fit all when it comes to self-service environments. Some clients need a phone, an interactive voice response system, and actually want that interactive voice response system. Some users need websites. I, as a user of these self-service environments, you know, when I'm traveling, I rely on an IVR, an interactive voice response system. When I'm home or I'm sitting in a hotel room, I'm perfectly happy and would prefer to use a website. So users need different styles at different times. So they're going to deliver multiple models of self-service. Their environment is that today, or when they initiated this project, they had a call center taking calls from agents who are in fact interfacing with clients. Very inefficient. And as you can imagine, the last thing agents wanted to be doing was answering every question that one of their clients came up with. They want to be out selling more insurance, not servicing the insurance they've already sold. Mainframe systems, they have over 1,000 transactions that manage the information that they needed to make available to the agents, to the clients, to the providers. The technology, primarily IMS transactions, managing IMS, vSAM, and DB2 data, very complex, as you can guess, decades of evolution within this application base. Their requirement was, one, minimal disruption on their existing environment. They needed to show value every 3 to 6 months. As in many organizations, they don't have the luxury of some type of multi-million dollar investment, big bang delivery, 12, 18, 24 months later. They have to show value to their end user on a constantly evolving basis. They are looking for performance and accuracy. They're an IMS user because they rely on speed. They know that their users will not be happy if, in fact, they're not delivering a highly performant and highly accurate solution. And they're also recognizing that in going to a self-service environment, you're inherently moving from a skilled user, an employee, to an unskilled user. So the interfaces become very important. So what did they do? Well, they took a look at a couple of different approaches. They started out looking at the EAI and ETL approaches because these tended to be the very traditional choices for addressing this type of a problem. And they discovered that there were some challenges in fitting these integration styles into their requirement. First of all, copying the data was a problem because of the volume of data. And there wasn't a nice small subset of information that could be used to satisfy the self-service environment. They, in fact, needed the bulk of the information that they have to address the self-service requirements. Therefore, you know, $2 million, literally, in hardware and software to maintain a copy of data in Oracle. Not an acceptable investment. And it would take a very long time to actually get the information all over there, and then they'd have to have ongoing management costs associated with maintaining that copy. They looked at connecting with the transactions. And connecting to a transaction was not a big deal. They estimated that each transaction was about a 10-man-hour integration effort, and that's to create the integration, test it all out, manage it, and move it over into a production environment. The challenge, really, is that with 1,000 transactions, that's 10,000 man-hours. And with a straight transaction integration environment, you don't get a lot of reusability. So every new self-service implementation needed that same 10,000 man-hours of effort. So they saw that as being ineffective and costly for this type of environment. That's when they looked at an information-centric strategy, moving on, and said, you know, let's use direct integration with the information. And the reason that direct integration with the information was valuable here is that the web development tools, the interactive voice response development tools, know how to talk with a SQL database, with a relational database. They're designed to talk with a relational database. Using Federation, you can make all of that mainframe System Z data look like it's in a relational database and leverage the power of the web application development tool, of the IVR development tool. That meant a 200-man-hour implementation versus a 10,000-man-hour implementation per self-service environment. That meant a $250,000 investment in software versus a $2 million investment in hardware and software. So for this implementation, the information-centric approach was the right approach. Virtualizing technologies, if we move on to slide 4, is all about making information look and act the same so that you can leverage standard interfaces into that information. And that's what Federation is all about. It's taking information in an IMS database, information in an IDMS database, in a vSAM file, and making it look as if it's in a relational database so that your applications and your tools can seamlessly interact with that data. Not just read interaction, but read and write interaction, and do it with transactional efficiency and performance characteristics. So if that's the type of requirement you have, virtualization, federation is the way to go. Now, that's not the requirement for every environment, so let's move on to another example. Here we have a catalog retailer that was implementing an e-commerce site. They have a call center which takes all of the orders. That call center is leveraging CICS transactions running on top of IDMS data. Very optimized order processing environment for their call center employees who are highly trained. Their requirements, minimal disruption again. They cannot have the business come to a halt or be impacted while they're developing and delivering and evolving an e-commerce site. The e-commerce site itself needs to be optimized for, again, that customer who is an unskilled, untrained user. Performance and accuracy, again, always critical. I'm selling product. If I sell it for the wrong price, guess what? I'm going to eat anything that I don't get back in my pricing. And recognize that an e-commerce environment isn't order processing, it's shopping. So it's somewhat different from the applications that they have built and are maintaining that run on CICS. So what did they do? Well, the right choice for them was actually a multi-model implementation. They used ETL to copy some of the information. They copied product data down to a local relational database. On the way, they enhanced that product data with image information and other sources of data so that they had a very effective, highly optimized product database that was close to the e-commerce site itself. Now, the reason to do that is that information doesn't change every other second. That information is relatively stagnant and can be controlled. I can update that data on a very scheduled basis as my product inventory content changes, rather than just the value, the amount of product I have. When I'm looking at actual changes to the content of my inventory, I can schedule updates to my product databases. To do that, they're using extract transform load technology, moving on to slide 17, because there's some value here with an ETL approach. I can write another program to copy data. The challenge there is I get zero reusability. If I need more data, I have to come in and write another program. And every new information requirement is another program. I get zero reusability in the transformations. If I have certain types of data that needs to be transformed, I end up having to write that transformation in every new program. I have very difficult or limited reusability when it comes to leveraging multiple sources and targets. Whereas when I use an ETL solution, I use a product that is designed to service an extract transform load environment, I am maximizing the reusability, I am maximizing the pre-built transformations that come with these solutions to deliver the extract transform load, to deliver the copy of data in a fraction of the time. And in fact, moving on to slide 8, if you look at the effort that you put into copying data and moving data and repurposing data, what clients will quickly discover is that each new implementation requires less effort than the project before it. So while if you had only one data movement and repurposing project, you may or may not see significant value, over time is when you start to see the value, because you've created the transformations for your major business objects, and it's very easy to reuse those transformations, to reuse those data access and data targeting capabilities in new information flows. So this is the long-term value of an ETL solution versus the write another program approach. So moving on to slide 19, ETL played a key part of their implementation. They also, however, leveraged federation, because there is some data that they absolutely did not want to create a copy of. There is certain information in your organization that is what I call the one version of the truth type of data. You do not want to have different values for the inventory of a product. You want one value that represents the real inventory. How many of these do you really have? And if I am copying that inventory value, I am creating an opportunity for that value to be different on different platforms. The last thing that you want to do is have someone come in, order a product, and then come back to that customer and say, oops, don't really have it. I am an avid internet shopper, and I've had that happen to me. And I can tell you, I don't go back to those retailers and buy product again, because it's very, very aggravating to your customer base to have that done. So they used federation to dynamically, in real time, bring in key information like inventory values. And then that wasn't enough. They still needed some process integration here, because there were key processes that they did not want to rewrite. For example, their pricing algorithms and their ship-to-date calculations that determine when a product is actually going to show up at the customer's door. Those calculations need to be consistent across all of their order processing and shopping applications, so they reuse those processes. This is a really good example of how and why multiple integration technologies are required and used to solve the real-world integration challenges that you face. Moving on, let's look at another example of choosing the right integration model. Federation and Event Publishing as Enabling Technologies. This is a global technology distributor. In fact, I think it's the largest technology distributor in the world. They are looking at an e-commerce website environment to replace their traditional order processing system of record. They want to reduce inventory costs. They also want to improve decision making. Their environment, when they started all of this, they have two mainframe operation centers, one in Europe and one in the U.S. This is to ensure the 24/7 operations of their global business. They also have a support center in India, very Wintel-based environment. Their operations are managed by CICS transactions, primarily IMS databases. They're processing somewhere between 40 and 50 million transactions a week. And they're doing most of their reporting from the India operation. And they'd like to build and maintain an operational data store to service their business reporting requirements in that India operation. They had three requirements. Starting out, implementing their next-gen transaction platform. So they're basing their next-generation platform on WebSphere Application Server. They want to, however, stay in a primarily ZOS and IMS environment because of the performance, reliability, and security of that System Z platform. They also want to improve interfaces with their suppliers. They need to manage inventory. They need to reduce costs associated with inventory to maintain their competitive position in the marketplace. And they need to continue to reduce costs in other ways, such as reducing transaction workload on their primary System Z environment. They viewed an operational data store running off Z as a way to do that. So let's look at their implementation. Starting out, the transaction processing environment, they want to be able to use that WebSphere application server-based environment to implement all of their new transaction processing. To do that, they need Federation to seamlessly integrate their IMS data with the Java-based web application server development environment. So that's the role for Federation. It is their transaction processing data access vehicle. They're also using ETL because they're going to deliver data down to this operational data store to run business reporting off-platform. This will allow them to maximize the performance of their System Z transaction processing environments and yet still provide an up-to-date reporting environment for their internal business users. So this ensures that up-to-the-second data is available. It also eliminates the dependence on batch cycles because they are a 24/7 operating environment. When do you bring down your databases so that you can extract data? Well, you don't. You use data event publishing to capture changes as they're being made and push them out to your operational data store. And then they also used this ability to capture changes in data to drive their partner connectivity gateway, to basically say, as inventory values are changing, I will capture those changes, and then the partner connectivity gateway can determine when it needs to interface out with their partners to order more product. Very efficient, very cost-effective way to manage their environment. So let's wrap up by taking a quick look at the market dynamics and what we've been discussing today. We begin by asking the questions, the who, what, when, where, why, to determine the best delivery model for the requirement at hand. Why is the question I ask first? Why do I need this information? Then you look at who and what, because who and what will dictate the form that the data needs to take. It will dictate the source or sources of information. Then you look at when and where. So where will determine whether the information can be delivered directly to the target application, or where will dictate whether it needs to be delivered to a target database. The when is going to drive the latency requirement. Do I need up to the second information? Can I deal with information that's a day old, a month old, an hour old? So the when and why are going to drive you to that real-time, near-real-time, or staged type of integration model. Looking at the market dynamics of these integration solutions that are available and what's happening, there is significant overlap in that marketplace today, and convergence is the norm. So what you are seeing is that within these categories, more and more capabilities are being added that overlap with their neighbors. So there's more data integration technology in EAI, and there's more process integration within Federation. Will they, in fact, merge? I don't think so. But there is overlap, and you're going to see overlap, and that overlap will continue. And SOAs, services-oriented architectures, are also implementing this landscape. So, for example, what we're seeing is organizations using an extract, transform, load process as a service so that they can dynamically pull information and repackage it and deliver it on the fly. Very important in a master data management environment, for example. We're seeing organizations leverage Federation capabilities within a service so that they can leverage SQL to build the service and make the service or the source of the data transparent to the service. They're using data events to drive or initiate the execution of services. And then lastly, we're seeing things like building a report and packaging a report with all of the data access inherent in building that report, again, as a service. So SOA is having a significant impact on this environment. I'd like to wrap this up with let you know about an initiative that IBM is rolling out. This is IBM's Information Integration Assessment Program. We are offering our clients an on-site workshop to help you identify your information integration challenges and look at the ways in which you can address those challenges. And we're doing this all at no charge. It is an interactive session led by an IBM Information Integration Solutions Specialist. This is a technology and implementation specialist that will allow you to, or will work with you to gain an understanding of the technologies that you have in your environment, the standards that you're dealing with, the trends in information integration, the types of business requirements that you have for information. And then after going through all of this, we'll come back and show you where you can use the various styles of integration to accelerate the delivery of your integration requirements and projects, to explore alternative approaches with you, to make recommendations for architectural enhancements that could deliver immediate and real value to your organization. The workshop, if we move on, is typically an information gathering and sharing session followed by an analysis, a summary, and then we will leave you with a report of recommendations. We typically will bring in architects, line of business managers, application owners, middleware managers, the data warehousing managers and developers into these sessions and work with all of those groups, facilitating communication across the different users within your own organization. Getting started, we can set the date, identify the participants, and then conduct your assessment session, implementing any recommendations at the pace that you determine is appropriate for you. So with that, I'd like to say thank you, and I will turn it back to our moderator.
Thank you. And our question and answer session will be conducted electronically. Anyone wishing to ask a question may now indicate so by pressing star 1 on their touchtone telephone keypad. As a reminder, if you're using a speakerphone, please be certain to either pick up your handset or disengage your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow you the chance to signal. And one more reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. Ms. Derwood, at this point, there appear to be no questions, so I'll turn the conference back over to Ms. McCollum for the concluding comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend Maximizing the Value of Your Data While Minimizing Costs. A special thanks goes out to our speaker today, Karen Duard from IBM, for being here. If you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me, and I will be glad to put you in touch with a DB2 sales rep or a DB2 technical sales specialist. Thank you so much. Our next teleconference will be a DB2 teleconference, DB2 version 8. Are you done yet? We look forward to having you attend that. Goodbye, and have a great day.
And that will conclude today's conference. Thank you all for participating today.